You know, just a while ago, Dad read a story from the book of Matthew in the second chapter. It talked about the wise men. You know, about 25 years ago, Oldsmobile, in an effort to reach kind of a new generation of people, came up with a slogan to help sell their cars. It was an advertising campaign, and the campaign went something like this. This is not your father's Oldsmobile. Do you all remember that, when they did that? Now, they had this campaign just so they could try to sell the Oldsmobile to a little younger crowd, that this is not your father's Oldsmobile. And to help promote that, they got some people that were well-known, Ringo Starr and his daughter. They got William Shatner and his daughter to help promote it, and some others to help promote it. And then later on, the phrase kind of caught on, and it was used for some other things like, this is not your Republican Party, or this is not your father's army, or this is not your father's job market. And it was used over and over again. You know, when Jesus came into the world, you might say that he came with a message. This is not your father's religion. That's because he came preaching a message to a generation that had never heard quite what he was saying. Because true religion is not about race, and it's not about ritual. It's about having a relationship with a loving Heavenly Father. And Jesus came into the world in which many people thought that righteousness was gone, and all religion was eating the right food or not eating some foods, or washing your hands the right way, or wearing the right kind of clothing, or, you know, doing the right thing or maybe not doing the right thing on Saturday, the Sabbath day. That's what they understood a relationship with God to be all about. And probably there's no story in the Bible that illustrates this idea of this is not your father's religion better than the story of the Magi or the wise men that came to find the Christ child. Because this story presents a radical view of God, and it's a view that challenged the belief system of the day. It was a belief system that was challenged because here were guys seeking for the Messiah who were not even a part of the Jewish culture. That's why the story of the Magi or the wise men is probably one of my favorite stories. Because it's a story that says that this is open for everyone, that God's grace is available to anyone. And in this story of the Magi, the story of the wise men, there's some wonderful lessons that we learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And tonight I thought it would be a good idea just to think about two or three of those, just real quick. Some lessons that we learn in this Christmas story having to do with the wise men and the Magi. One of the lessons I think is this: God reveals himself to those who seek him. A minute ago, Dad read verse 1 and 2 of Matthew chapter 2. Goes something like this. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who's been born the King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." You know, it's interesting that astronomers tell us that right around that time when Jesus was born, there was a star that came into the sky. They can backtrack it and tell that it was there right at the time of the birth of Jesus in the eastern sky. It shone brighter than any of the other stars. But you know what's really interesting is the Jews could have seen it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees could have seen it. Herod could have seen it. Anyone could have looked in the sky and seen the star, that magnificent, shining, bright star. But only the Magi, only the wise men, followed the star. Only they went to find him. And find him they did. Because that's how God is. He reveals himself to those who are seeking him, who are looking for him. And it's not insignificant that the wise men weren't Jewish. And it's not an insignificant detail that they were priests of even another religion. But by this, God is telling the world that, hey, this baby that's being born is for anyone and everyone who who seeks Him. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, if you're black or white, if you're rich or poor, male or female. It doesn't matter if you're American or African or Asian or European. None of those things matter. The story teaches us that God will reveal Himself to anyone that seeks Him. In the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 13, Jeremiah writes, "When you search for me, you find me, if you seek me with all of your heart." You see, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you come from. If you seek Him, God will reveal Himself to you. You will find Him. What a great lesson of Christmas. There's a second lesson we learn from the wise men, and that is God speaks to those who will listen. If we just listen, God will speak. In verse 12, which Dad read a while ago, says this, "And having been warned in the dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." Now, I want you to catch that because it's interesting what's going on here. These guys were not worshipers of God in the Jewish sense. These fellows were stargazers. Yet, they went to seek and they were willing to listen. God came to them in a dream. And they were paying attention. They listened. You know, it was a choice that they had to make that night. When the dream came, they had a choice. Either ignore it or to heed the warning. Either believe what they had seen in the dream or just forget about it and go back and see Herod as Herod had requested and tell him, "Hey, Herod, we found the guy. He's down there in Bethlehem. You know, if you go down there, you'll find him too." But they listened. You know, there are two ways to look at this idea of a dream. One may say, "God spoke to me in a dream," while another may say, "I dreamed that God spoke to me." You see the difference? The Magi were willing to say, "God spoke to me," and they listened. You know, think about it. How does God speak to you? I think one of the ways God speaks to us is through the Bible. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this in Psalm chapter 119, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So God oftentimes will speak to us through His word. He will reveal things to us and help us to learn through His word. I think God also speaks to us through the preaching and teaching of His word. You know, we come together sometimes for preaching and we think, you know, why are we here doing this? You know, I've heard this before and I've been there before. But you know, it's interesting. The Bible says there's something unique about preaching and proclaiming the word. And preaching and teaching of the Bible is sacred according to what the Word says. And most preachers, me included especially, and Bible teachers know that even our best effort falls dramatically short of the mark as we strive to communicate the gospel. But God is able to take even feeble words and use them in a powerful way. It never ceases to amaze me. Sometimes on the days I think I do the worst, I have more people walk out and say, "You know, you just said something today that just hit me." So I've decided just to have terrible sermons from now on. You know, it's where we're going to go. There's a third way that I think God speaks to us, and that is through many other sources, because we can't limit the way that God communicates to us. You know, He communicated on His first Christmas through a baby, a child that was being born. He may communicate to us through a close friend or through parents or through children or an event or a book or maybe during a meditation time when you're just thinking, something comes to your mind, or you may be watching the news and you see something and go, "Wow, I could help with that." I don't know how God's going to communicate, but God uses all kinds of things. Our job is to listen. One caveat, though. If you're listening to God and He's speaking to you, I promise you that anything you hear will never contradict what's in the Word of God. Anytime you hear, it will never go against anything that God has said in Scripture. God may speak to you, but make sure it's in line with what He has already given you. Then there's a third thing that I want you to see from the story of the Magi, and that is God leads those who will follow. You see, they were seeking, they were listening, and then they were willing to follow. Listen to verse 9 and 10. "And they set out," talking about the Magi, "and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen as it rose, at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid homage." Where did the star lead them? Directly directly to Jesus. As I said before, it was there for anybody to see. Anyone could have seen the star, but only these men decided to follow the star. They were the only ones who took the steps to go find the Savior. If you're willing to let God lead you through your day-to-day events of life, He'll do the same for you. The road may not always be easy, but He will lead you if you're willing to follow. E. Stanley Jones tells of a missionary who got lost in the African jungle. And nothing around him made sense. I mean, he was caught in the middle of the bush. There were just a few clearings, but nothing was familiar. He was totally lost. He finally found a native, and he asked the native if he would help lead him out to where he was back, to where the place he needed to be. And the native said that he could. And so the missionary said, "All right, let's go." And they started out. And they walked. And the native took his machete, and he just cut a path and walked and whacked their way through unmarked jungle for what seemed like hours. And the missionary began to get worried. Does this guy really know where he's going? And finally he said, "Are you quite sure of the way? Where's the path?" And the native looked at him and said, In this place there is no path. I am the path." There are times in our lives where we look around and it doesn't seem like there's a path at all. And we find ourselves in situations which offer no clear-cut answers. That's when we have to have faith in God that He is the path. And this section of Scripture in Matthew teaches us that we just need to be willing to follow. Those Magi, they didn't know where they were going when they left. They did not know where they were going to end up. Yet they were willing to follow the star. And look who they found when they followed. You know, there's a world around us that needs to see the star. And God didn't just put a star in the sky at one time for one group or one period of people to see. God has always had a shining light for people to see. He has always had a shining light that has led people to Him. And more often than not, the shining light has been you and me. We are the ones who oftentimes get the chance to lead others to Christ. We are the ones who others look at and they say, "Wow, there's the light. I want that life. I want that happiness. I want that joy. I want what they have as a family. I want that kind of relationship with my husband and my wife and my kids. And where do I find that?" That's God using you as a star to lead someone else to the Savior. You know, we oftentimes call this a candlelight service, and for that very reason. Because through that one light of Christ, the world has been illuminated. And for many of us, there may be someone that we know that we may be the one light that will illuminate their life with the message of Christ. I'm going to have Galen and Howard come this way. And they're going to light their candles from the candles that are up front. And then they are just going to start down the center aisle. And what I'd like for you to do is, if your candle, come on up this way, Galen Howard, and get your candles lit. If your candle is lit, hold yours up straight. If your candle is not lit, turn yours into the one that's lit. That way we don't drip wax on the new carpet, all right? So if your candle's lit, just hold it straight to the person. They'll light the first one on the row, and then if you will just pass it down. And as you see this place light and illuminate, think about the light that you bring to the lives of people around you.